Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Rolling.
Guns and weed, bitches.
It's free, bitches.
It's free. Yeah, so we're thinking of changing the name of the podcast because, first of all, guns and weed doesn't really sum it up totally. You know, we talk about everything, and secondly, we don't want to attract the wrong kind of attention.
Not that we're pussing out or anything. It's just, you know, we're so much more. We're not just about the guns and the weed, and we are about freedom. Isn't that right? So we got to have free in the name somehow. Something to do with free or liberty or something. We were coming up with some, weren't we, Michael?
Yeah. The first one you didn't like, I said, two guys yakking about freedom.
Yeah. That. For some reason, I think of Everybody Loves Raymond when I hear that. I don't know why.
Okay.
It just seems kind of played.
Well, I also said freedom yak and have a picture of a yak with like a circle A on his forehead or something.
It would really depend on the yak logo, how far I'd be willing to go for that one. It'd have to be like a big burly cartoon yak. It'd have to have something unique about the yak. I don't know. But I don't want to tie it to the yak again. I think that it's free is the important part. So what about like, you know, it's free, bitches, you know, instead of like it's me, bitches.
Yeah, putting a cuss word in it limits you though on iTunes.
Right.
I mean, I hate to self censor, but we do it already anyway, and it would limit getting on radio. I like it's free, except it kind of sounds like a tampon.
Or spam.
It sounds like spam, or you're saying call the podcast spam?
Oh, I would not say call the podcast spam. No, it's free. If you, whenever you see something that says it's free, you sort of disregard it. Like if you're looking online.
If we emailed it, a press release to anybody, it would go in their trash.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe not that.
Maybe not. So.
So it's up to you, our loyal listeners or new listeners or anybody.
Our loyalists, our subjects. They're not our
loyal
subjects.
Listeners. If we have any, or just anybody who hears this.
We have a bunch. And we got some good comments. Maybe we'll read some today.
Okay.
But how about Radio Free Wyoming?
Radio Free Wyoming. I don't know, but it's more than just Wyoming. I'm in Washington.
The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com.
Yeah, but your heart's in Wyoming. You know you wish you were here.
Yeah, I did like Wyoming.
If you and your wife could get equally good jobs here tomorrow, you'd probably move back.
Yeah, I'd like to. The thing is, we'd really want to move back to Texas, too. Just there's so many cops over there. My little brother sent me a pic from his phone the other day. He works near Seabrook, I think, or in League City. You know, that whole coastal region of Texas right there south of Houston. And he sent me a picture from near his work. And these cops had this cherry picker. It was like a professional police cherry picker. It had a little thing in the air. You know, they were raised up about 15 feet high, just looking out like a mobile watchtower that they can like drive around.
Yeah.
It was insane. And he just took the picture. You know, he's like, this is on my way to work. And it's like, I know people say it's not really a conspiracy thing anymore, I think, to talk about the police state, especially depending on where you're at. But some places it's just really self-evident nowadays. Luckily, not in Wyoming, but...
Well, we're going to get to that today.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the horizontal enforcement in Wyoming.
Ah, and, yes, there's plenty everywhere.
Your brother went to the same high school that my wife went to. I think that's a small world kind of coincidence, cool thing.
Yeah, totally. Clear Creek, isn't it? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. She didn't like it either. She got hassled by cops for not breaking laws.
Well, at Frank's, when he went there, Frank is my little brother, and when he went to school, I think it's Clear Creek High School, they would give out tickets, or you had to pay a fee if you cussed.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, let's do a shout out to Frank. I like Frank.
Yeah, Frank Vedati. Peace out, man. What's up?
Frank's in the movie, for anyone that's seen the movie. He's the one that's holding the rifle in the modern Minuteman scene.
Yeah, yeah.
where it morphs into a statue of one of the Minutemen.
Yeah, it's a pretty noble picture he's got there.
I know. Of him holding his commie rifle, or my commie rifle.
It's the freedom rifle, man. We love our Mosins. Me and it my really brother is. Both have really one. Is. Michael taught us. He schooled us on that. But it's a wonderful thing to have. It's, you know, a couple $100 to get one and get a big Spammo, which is a big can of ammo in a Spam can.
We repurpose them. They're no longer commie rifles. They're libertarian rifles.
Yeah. They're anarchist rifles. Whatever you want to call us.
Speaking of anarchist.
Speaking of them.
That's a dirty word.
Ooh, is it? I like to say dirty words, though.
Well, I want to talk about this Casper Star Tribune 3-day series that they did on, it's called The Great American Do-Over, which was a really calculated, non-journalistic hit piece on freedom people.
Yes.
And it was written by Tom Morton. You've met him, right?
I'm pretty sure I have. I mean, I can't place his face right now, but I used to work in that news market, you know, when I was with K2 TV, and he obviously works for the Casper Star Tribune. I mean, I just more than anything remember reading his articles and thinking it was always had a very status slant, which to me in journalism, one of the things about it these days is a lot of times when people talk about them being objective or, you know, good journalism, a lot of times it ignores the bias that the status quo is okay, that, you know, the way things work now is okay. That's the premise you start with, is the system we have now. It assumes it works, which I think is a bias. When you report as if the status quo
whether
works,
it's, whether it's left or right, whether it's CNN or Fox or whatever it is, the Tribune leans left, but it's statist in the same way that some right-wing thing would be.
Right, exactly.
You know, really what this whole thing about, and basically what he did was he talked about the sovereign citizen movement, which I had to look up. I didn't know. It's this thing of like saying that the United States Constitution is not legal, that the United States is now a corporation, that after a certain point in history, it got usurped. And
right.
These people convene private courts against public officials and put liens on their houses and things like that. And, you know, some part of me says, oh, neat. But it's like, it's really done a lot of damage to a lot of people. And
the thing is, they're usurping the state's tactics. That's all they're doing.
Well,
they're using.
And what did you say about that? You said that nobody should have that
right
power.
That's the problem. Is anytime you were telling me about, was it the Montana group that actually went into the town, legally became the town's leadership, right?
Yeah, and then started arresting sheriffs and mayors and town council members putting liens on their houses. And they also like basically counterfeited. They created their own theoretical bank and issued financial instruments and sold them to people who bought them on good faith and ended up losing their house over it, which is,
they stole the guns of the state and pointed them back at the state.
And they were jailed, and they were properly jailed. You know, they should have been. Right. But
problem is that you have the apparatus of the state there for them to do that. They had just accelerated what the state normally does and directed it more focused. That's all they did.
But a thing that's happening is, like, when there's a few bad apples like that of people who, like, take freedom and turn it into tyranny, there's other people like this Tom Morton guy and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the DHS who now, like, the Southern Poverty Law Center is on their board of directors or something. They're, like, employed by the DHS.
Right.
They tie in nonviolent, non-criminal people with these criminal people. You know, this whole piece, this whole 3-day article, I mean, it takes people like Taylor Haynes, who ran for governor here and got 14,000 votes, which is a lot in Wyoming. I mean, the winner got 10 times that. So this guy got 10% of the vote running as a write-in in Wyoming. And he's a constitutionalist. He's kind of wants smaller government, you know, is really, I wouldn't say extreme, but is adamant in his wording.
Okay, basically the article, then it comes out, it says that two of Wyoming's gubernatorial candidates from the last election espouse some of these ideas, but it's after it paints these ideas as being very bad and anti-state. One of the other things they say is anti-government sentiment doesn't always lead to anti-government reactions, but then all the anti-government reactions it lists are acts of violence, like low.
Yeah, they
acts
tied them in
violence.
With like people blowing up government buildings, you know, and these are not people who do that.
Right. And that's the problem, is I think what they're trying to do is not only do you have the other over there that we're fighting, the scary terrorists that are brown, but they want to paint another inside the U.S. It's part of enacting this horizontal enforcement of the state. It's, oh, you got to band together. Tell us whenever there's anything suspicious. I mean, there's the Homeland Security video at Walmart now and things like that.
The Big Brother is watching you. I mean, that's totally, that's out in 1984.
Well, that's the thing, though, is it's not the Big Brother's watching you. It's you have to be the junior spies. You have to be the ones watching out for the Goldstein people. That's what it is. They're painting us as the saboteurs of the revolution almost, you know, if you're going to think of it in those kind of terms. But they want us, not us, but they want to paint this other group. And that's what they're doing.
And they're repainting history, which is straight out of 1984, too. They said, you know, in 1984, it's who controls the past controls the future, who controls the present controls the past. And, you know, they're basically making it look like if you're into the Constitution, you're a terrorist. That's how they're rewriting history.
Right, right.
The really screwed thing, one of the many screwed things about this article is, or these three, this series of articles, is the third one culminated on coming out on April 19th. It's the anniversary of the first shot of the Revolutionary War, which is how I look at it. And the way that media often looks at it is it's the anniversary of the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma. So, and they didn't even mention that. They mentioned a lot about the Oklahoma City bomber and tried to tie him in with Tea Party people and constitutionalists. Right. And
if you don't love the state, you're bad. You're one of these people.
That was basically the whole take on this. And I really feel like it's kind of horizontal enforcement to try to tamp down Wyoming, because Wyoming is really has a wild streak. I mean, between Taylor Haynes and this other constitutionalist, Michael I, and the libertarian guy, those guys combined got like almost 30% of the vote. They got more than the Democrat candidate, you know. And there's even a quote in here from the Republican governor, like, these are bad people, stay away from them. And I mean, I really think that this guy, Tom Morton, is creating a story where there is none, because it opens by saying...
You want me to read the first paragraph of the thing?
Yeah, yeah. Read the first two paragraphs.
It says, the Federal Bureau of Investigation may be investigating the sovereign citizen movement in Wyoming, an agency spokesman said. Then it quotes, I can neither confirm nor deny that an investigation exists. This is a very sensitive subject. That's a quote from Dave Jolly, spokesman for the FBI's regional office in Denver, said in March. So in March, they called the FBI, and the FBI said they can neither confirm nor deny, which is all the FBI says about anything you ask them.
If you called the FBI and said, is the sun going to rise tomorrow? They'd say, we can neither confirm or deny that we're investigating
that. Yeah, I mean, and even if you are a reporter, you call them, and they'll say something and, like that, which means I can't talk about it.
If they were investigating somebody or if they weren't, they'd probably give the same answer.
Yeah.
And Tom Morton says, that means they may be investigating. It's just total crap journalism. It's not even journalism. It's propaganda. Yeah,
it is. Well, you know what some people in Wyoming call the Casper Star Tribune, right, Michael?
The Casper Red Star Tribune?
Exactly.
I think part of this is a big push by the left leading up to the Obama 2012 run to just discredit anybody who's not on board with the
anybody who's critical of Obama.
The thing is, like, this happened in the 60s, but it was Nixon doing it to the left. It's exactly the same. I mean, Nixon was discrediting and double speaking and the student protesters of the war.
And again, you know? It's because you have this apparatus, you have this state, and whoever gets a hold of it always uses it the same way. They use it for different things, but it's still somebody using this monopoly of force, which is a problem in and of itself.
I mean, I really think that it's like the feds may be investigating this. First of all, I don't think there is a sovereign citizens movement in Wyoming. I think there may be five guys like that. But
there's something like 12 or something. I don't know. I remember they did that Tea Party rally a couple years ago across the street from the hospital there in Casper at the park. I think I saw you and DJ there.
That was the sovereign citizen people?
No, but there was a bunch of different groups. You know, there's going to be a conglomeration of different groups that come out for a Tea Party rally. And this was one of them. And there was a guy with a belly wearing overalls and kind of open a little bit with some gray chest hair coming out. And I don't know if he seemed to be some sort of leader of these guys that were talking about how the system now is a corporation and we're going to convene a grand jury and start indicting people. So I definitely experienced that in Wyoming.
He's heavily covered in this article. I mean, basically what he did is he lives out in the county and he has a bunch of crap on his property, you know, a bunch of broken down cars and I guess, a pile of garbage and something. I mean, it was, and the county told him to clean it up, and he didn't. And the sheriff came down on him. Then he ran against the sheriff on, you know, a platform that was a combination of constitutional integrity and just vicious attack on that sheriff. And I didn't like that sheriff, and I didn't like Corrigan, so I wrote you in when I voted.
well that sheriff is also the sheriff that told me I can't open carry at a crime scene. Tyranny today.
Yeah, so
and called, you know, my boss was, to tell him as such.
You know, while I think Corrigan sounds kind of loony to me, I think the county overreacted. I mean, they went in and stole his property. They own his property now.
Right, exactly. And that's the problem anyways. There's that fatal conceit there. I mean, why do you think this kind of movement is going to even exist? It exists because the state does do violent things, and so there's going to be people who react violently to it. And literally, this is the government came in and told him he couldn't keep his property how he wanted it. He couldn't keep this junk. It doesn't matter if it's junk to everybody else. It's his property. He owns it. He can do what he wants with the junk.
And this whole article basically says if you question the government, you should be watched by squinty eyes by the feds. And a lot of the comments on the Tribune too, like, were just buying it outright, just saying like, yeah, these people should all be thrown in prison now. You know? Yeah. And it's like, I'm looking at this in the paper. It's basically saying, if you don't trust the government, you're horrible. And then all of the other articles around it are about how horrible the government is. It's like, poll, students optimistic despite money doubts. S&P warning, fix U.S. deficit or risk credit rating. And then this other one about county residents protest vehicle ordinance, which is the thing that you talked about before, about how everybody turned out for that thing and they backed down at that meeting.
The government meeting, that was them wanting the countywide cleanup. They wanted people to take their junk cars out, and a bunch of car enthusiasts showed up.
You said the only time you've ever seen a lot of people show up and say, hey, this is our property, leave us alone.
Yeah, that was it.
They backed off on that and said they'd back off on that, but they've been not backing off on it.
Yeah, I never thought they would back up off. They backed up for that night, and that's the problem, is you can go and rally in the government for one night and bring 200 people, and they'll cower away. They even voted one of the people out. But the point is they're still going to go back and do what they want to do anyway.
Yeah.
And that's what they did, you're telling me? That they've been going forward, you know, writing people tickets, making them clean stuff up?
Yeah, so it's like this article about how you're horrible if you don't love the government is surrounded by articles about how horrible the government's being.
Right.
You know, and I think that an unintended consequence of them hammering this thing so hard is they're probably actually bolstering freedom people, because I imagine there's a lot of people in Wyoming who've never heard of libertarianism or sovereignty or any of that stuff, but probably read this article and went, hey, this sounds like something I should look into, you know?
Word.
Yeah, word. You know, and I think that really what part of this is top-down enforcement. You know, the FBI probably is looking into this, and it's sideways enforcement from the newspaper, basically trying to say, sit up straight and shut up and don't complain.
Right, right.
And I think part of it is just because Wyoming is being almost successful at really bucking a lot of things. Like, we've got permitless concealed carry now coming up July 1st, starting July 1st.
Go Wyoming.
We've got the Firearms Freedom Act. You know, we've got several people in the state house who are like, I don't trust the government. You've got alternative candidates getting 30% of the vote in a gubernatorial election. You know, I think that kind of scares some people.
Yeah, I think so. Speaking of the Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act, is there anybody stepping up to start building guns in Wyoming yet?
Hell no.
See, that's the problem. We got to get some freedom fighters in there who are actually going to do it and call attention to this.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
If voting changed anything, it'd be illegal.
See, that's why when it comes to nullification, it seems like the most successful example we have now is the medical marijuana example. It's catching on in more and more spots. It's not where it should be everywhere. Like, it's not where it should be, you know, in Washington State where I live, but it's a step forward.
And they're even trying to, like, nullify that with horizontal enforcement and the media. Like, two examples I can think of is Obama just did this town hall meeting. He did it on Facebook. Last year, he did it on YouTube and Google. The quote in CNN said, by letting Facebook choose the questions for Obama at its town hall, the White House has elected not to use a technology created by Google it employed online in the past by letting citizens vote on each other's questions. With this system, questions sometimes strayed from key talking points to a tangential topics such as marijuana legalization. So thank God Facebook is stepping up and using technology to keep the majority from being heard.
Keep the debate in that narrow range. Keep the debate very focused to where you only have this one short range of slightly to the left, slightly to the right, but statist as you can get, you know?
Yeah, so Gary Johnson just announced.
Announced
governor,
for what?
He's running for president.
I don't even know who Gary Johnson is.
Nobody does, but he was the governor of New Mexico twice, Republican, pro-choice for abortion, and he's strongly pro-legalization of marijuana. Fox News said he may be hampered by clinging to fringe talking points like legalization of marijuana. And I'm like, fringe?
Yeah.
It's like, what, you know... I mean, I think I don't know what the percentage of people in America who've smoked marijuana in their lives are, but I'll bet it approaches 50%.
I think it's got to be more than 50%. I don't know. Maybe it depends on the age.
With young people, it's 80 or 90%. But
and this kind of thing is ridiculous. And I think another thing that really puts this kind of government talking in perspective is they've been going around shutting down all of the online poker sites. They took down the three major online poker sites recently. My father-in-law, you know, that's all he does all day is play online poker. He's disabled and he wins a bunch of money at it. You know, it's paid for cruises of his. And the government's going in acting like this is their problem. With everything going on in the world, they still have time to use tyranny against people who play online poker.
Yeah.
Where they're killing people, you know, around the world and taking our freedoms away, and they have all this budget deficit problems. They're having these fake fights about shutting down the government, which they never would, and yet they still have time to take away people's freedom.
Yep. What a crazy world we live in, Nima Vadadi.
I know. And to me, it's just when people talk about, you know, somebody fighting for our freedom, you know, government people fighting for our freedom, all I can think about is the main scary demon in my mind that's attacking freedom is government. There doesn't get anybody much more scary than that when it comes to taking away freedom. And so the idea that somebody from the government is going to protect my freedom is, it's so bizarro world. It's complete doublethink to even conceive of.
And it's enforced top down and sideways.
And sideways.
You know, there's a book... since you did a book review of a book you haven't read last time.
I actually read the first two chapters when I was in, where was it? Vancouver, Washington, which is not in Canada. It's above Portland.
I've been there. I've played there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do a review of a book I haven't read. It's called Political Ponderology.
Okay.
The basic thesis of it is that 6% of all people are sociopathic, and somewhere between 10 and 20% of people want to follow sociopaths. And, you know, together that's at tops 25-26%. It's not a majority, but it's a loud minority.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people that go into politics that really want to control people are sociopathic. And I think that a lot of these people that do the horizontal enforcement are the people that want to follow them.
Well, I think for the horizontal enforcement really to work, they either have to have, you know, a large number of people who feel passionately about something, or, you know, a large enough portion of people who just don't care, so that, you know, they're going to just go with the flow and believe whatever they're told anyway. And that's, I think, the problem we have is even if you do have 26% of the population pursuing some type of puritanical nanny nonsense and 50% of the people don't care enough to even pay attention, all it takes is that 26% to ruin somebody's freedom.
Yep. I heard a really good example of over-regulating. This is from a couple years ago in Bettendorf, Iowa. The city council voted unanimously to strengthen its law regarding what types of chemicals cannot be inhaled, you know, like toluene, xylene, gasoline, etc.
Right.
And they added to the list the word organic substances. And the reason they added that was because of the scourge of people snorting Gencom. Do you know what Gencom is?
I actually read that you sent it to me.
It's a gas produced by allowing feces and urine to ferment in a jar in the sun. Then people inhale the gas from the balloon. And they outlawed this in this town. And then it turns out that Gencom doesn't exist and it was an internet joke.
Well, if
so
you remember,
protecting the kids.
Did you ever see In Living Color? That's totally what Damon Wayans had when, in his homeless character, he carried around the jar. He says, "Oh, I have to use my facilities," and it was a pickle jar full of piss and, you know, a solitary turd floating in it. And he carried that around with him. So maybe they just saw it in Living Color and thought, you know, we got to get those kids.
Well, Police Chief Phil Reddington said the city decided to add the word organic to the law because they've heard of people huffing something known as Jenkum. He said that the police have never encountered such an incident within the city limits, however, but they wanted to be sure.
Yeah, yeah. They just want more control. The vaguer they get, the broader they get, the better they feel, apparently.
Yep.
And speaking of banning chemicals, one of the things we've noticed since we've been in Washington State is that our dishwasher doesn't really take much dirt off the dishes. Sometimes they come out and they're just as dirty. And there was a Jeff Tucker article on Lou Rockwell the other day, and it sort of answered my question about why that's happening. Apparently it happens a lot up here because they've taken a chemical out of the dish detergent. They banned it in 2008. Washington State was one of the first states to ban it. And now, you know, people can't get their dishes clean because apparently somebody wanted to ban a chemical. And 2 points here is, you know, one, Jeff Tucker, I think, makes the article that, you know, they thought it was polluting these rivers, but it turns out it's really not. But another point I have to make is even if it was polluting the rivers, the problem would be is that you have a government monopoly over the whole system. So the water goes down. If it gets to the rivers, it's the government that's allowing it to go in the rivers in the first place. If you had a private society, there'd be different ways of dealing with your wastewater. And maybe a private person who deals with your particular wastewater wouldn't want that chemical. But in a free market, you could get it with or without the chemical. Me and my wife were talking about it, actually, and she's sort of starting to get the picture. She's been getting the picture that the government's the bad guy, you know, for the past couple years. And she goes to this, is that how come consumers, even if they don't want something like this in a product, why do they have to use the guns of the state? Why do they have to write letters to their congressmen, she said, if they want a chemical, if they want to attack a chemical or they don't want people to use a chemical, why don't they just not buy it? Why do they have to sit there and try to get somebody else to not buy it too?
Because people are under the illusion that they're right. You know,
and
the
they
want to
force
that,
their rightness, and they use the apparatus of the state again.
The problem with that, other than that there's a problem with that, is that everyone's got conflicting ideas. I mean, really, the basic thing to do would be to remove all the bad laws and strip it down to, like, the only things that are illegal are murder, theft, rape, fraud, trespassing, and
basically any property crime. Anything that violates the principle of non-aggression.
Yeah, and really, if you did that, the left and the right could get along fine. Huh. People just feel a need to control things, but there's so many people that have different agendas that it's like, eventually, and we're pretty close to it, eventually we're going to end up with, like, so many laws you can't move or do anything without breaking the law.
Right, right. Well, isn't there a book called, like, Three Felonies a Day or something like that? Yeah. Basically, people can be breaking the law and not even know it. There's so many laws.
Another good book we'll review that we haven't read. You know, another thing that was kind of funny was
maybe we should have a reading list on the website. I know everybody has a reading list these days, but
that's a lot of work. But you know, I usually link them, and then if somebody buys one, I get 10 cents, and that helps pay me for all the work I do on the web design and editing.
There you go.
So there was a drug kind of like spice, but it was like fake cocaine. It was called bath salts.
Okay.
You know, that was like what they sold it as was, but it wasn't bath salts, but they sold it as bath salts and it got outlawed. But some places actually were trying to outlaw real bath salts because they thought that people were just snorting bath salts.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this the other day too, is okay, graffiti is a big problem in the town where I live in, or it's a problem that people complain about a lot. And I just thought of, you know, how far are we going to get before somebody goes and tries to outlaw spray paint? And I think that's a good example of, you know, it's not the product. You can't outlaw a product because real people need that product.
In California, you can't buy it unless you're over 18 and show ID.
Yeah.
And they write down who buys it.
Do they?
In California, DJ and I, one time, were trying to buy a knife. We needed, like, a box opener. And we went to Costco or something, and we went to buy a tiny little knife. It was like, you know, the blade was like a half inch long and the handle was like 3 inches long. It was behind the counter, like sealed in plastic, and they asked us for ID to buy it.
Next it'll be your fork.
Yeah. Well, in England, steak knives are illegal.
Oh, really?
And you didn't know that? Oh, yeah.
Do they serve them the spongy meat in the soup bowl in the cafeteria?
DJ joked that they send someone from the National Health over to your house to chew your meat for you. And then they barf it in your mouth like a mother bird From the cradle to the grave.
Cradle to the grave. Oh, yeah.
I used to be an anarchist, but there's just too many rules. That's a one I heard recently. It kind of fits that thing we were talking about how the left anarchist kicked the right anarchists off of their website on Facebook.
Oh, really?
There's just too many rules, man.
So what are you then?
I'm a libertarian.
You're a libertarian?
This week.
Okay.
How many libertarians does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
Well, if it needs changing, the market will take care of it. I saw one. There was graffiti where somebody had written "spread anarchy" on a wall, and then somebody in different paint, somebody had crossed it out, and under it they'd painted "don't tell me what to do."
I don't know. You think we need a new word? We've been trying to come up with new words, new titles. We got to get the language back on our side, I think.
Well, I'm just a leave me alone guy.
Leave you alone guy. I think voluntary is sort of encapsulate that sort of leave me alone idea.
It does, but I can barely pronounce it.
And people spell it wrong.
Same with agorist.
I think some speech I did once, somebody posted it online and called it volunteerism. And I'm thinking, no, that's like, you know, going out and picking up trash.
Well, that's a problem, too, is that voluntarism is also a word for volunteerism.
Oh, really?
That predates, you know, calling anarchists volunteerists.
Well,
or maybe that's just a mistake because I looked it up on Wikipedia.
We got to coin a phrase. Well, hey, why don't we just do what we did when we were lazy with our last name thinking of?
Let's have a contest. Okay. Whoever can come up with the best word for what we are, we'll send them a copy of the movie.
I think we're going to have to go back to the light bulb because I think the market's just going to take care of it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if somebody really did coin a phrase that was the best phrase, their reward would be the fact that people used it.
And my problem is I look things up on Wikipedia, and you know what Thomas Jefferson said? He said, the problem with information on the internet is the difficulty in verifying its authenticity.
Yeah, that's also an awesome quote.
I know. Yeah.
That's another thing about the founding fathers is that makes me think, you know, a lot of it is sort of its own theology. You know, it's almost its own religion, this worship of the founding fathers.
I have a problem with that. I used to worship the founding fathers, but it's like, it's basically coming down to me, and this is like a lot of lefties have this problem too, you know, and criticize Tea Party people because of this, but it's like, it's really resonating with me now. Thomas Jefferson was a slaveholder. How can someone who owns people be a paragon of liberty?
That's a very good point. It's true. No matter what advancements they made theoretically, I mean, we're already there and we're already way past it. I mean, the founding fathers never mentioned the thought that there could be no state. None of them ever went that far. And so theoretically, you have to give them props for, I guess, whatever they wrote. And the Declaration of Independence, you can't deny.
It's pretty kick-ass.
That's an amazing document.
You're not my father. You're not the boss of me, as someone said. And the thing is, it's like now if you try to say you're not the boss of me to our government, who's acting worse than the king was acting, even if you try to say, I don't want you to be the boss of me, they want to club you and tase you and throw you in a cage.
Yeah. Well,
I almost said throw you in a camp, but we're not there yet. So I'll just say throw you in a cage because the prisons are the camps.
They're already there. The prisons are already there. We have the largest prison population in the world.
Largest per capita prison population in
exactly.
the world.
Exactly. And I think this brings up another thing, this video you sent me of the guy running out on the soccer field.
I'll link that.
Link that, please. Cops chase him down. They throw him to the ground, and one of them, you know, he's got his nightstick, and he's sort of jabbing it into it. You don't know where it's at. It could be his head. It could be his temple, because you can't really see him, because the guy's just completely covered in cops.
They're just beating the shit out of him for, you know, being a sports fan and running out on the field.
And so then the rest of the crowd just rushes down and they start ripping the...
Like 500 people.
It was amazing.
Start beating up the cops.
And maybe, okay, I don't know if they should have went as far as beating the cops because, again, then they're taking that violence and using it against the cops. But I am all for them rushing out and grabbing the people, ripping them off
and
the guy.
And stopping them.
Stopping it. But I was thinking, Michael, first of all, this is a few years ago. And where was this? Brazil? Okay, yeah. I think this could probably still happen in Brazil. I think Brazil right now is sort of embracing freedom a little bit more than we are, at least.
Well, yeah, because I saw the same week that I saw that, I saw footage on the news of a guy at a baseball game in America getting tased by cops and people just standing around.
People just stand there.
And it was, you know, the guy was being a jerk. He was a drunk and he was a loudmouth and he was mouthing off to the cops. But he didn't deserve to get tased and beaten.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like there's 500 people standing around about 20 feet away in a big semicircle watching.
Where was this, in New York?
Back east somewhere.
I'm surprised people didn't cheer. And the other thing I was thinking is if some people did somehow rush down and start, you know, pulling the cops off of somebody, even if the cops were tasing somebody, I think in America, if it came to it, you know, they'd start bombing the place. They'd send out SWAT teams. You know, they'd come out in their tank that they might have, especially if it's a big city, their armored personnel carrier. And they'd bring in the big guns.
Call the guy a terrorist. Yeah. They'd call the guy a terrorist. I mean, they're trying to make everything terrorism now. Like there's a bill right now to make drug cartels terrorists. And then by extension, if they pass that, you know, I think if you're a drug dealer, you'd be aiding terrorism. They could probably get you for that. Do you know what the federal penalties are for drugs, for drug smuggling?
What?
I
imagine there's a whole hundreds of pages of different penalties, but.
Well, the short form of it is for heroin, cocaine, and meth for quantities, like, you know, not truckloads, but for like a kilo, it's like $2 million to $5 million fine and 5 to 40 years in prison.
Wow. 40 years in prison.
And a lot of times with these fines too, like $2 million fine, that's after they take everything you own because you're a drug dealer.
Oh yeah.
And they do that to people that have small quantities too. They do that to like people who are on welfare. They give them $1 million fines or $500,000 fines in addition to years in prison.
And then just take their property. Yeah.
Yeah. They love taking property. Yeah. You know, speaking of taking property, anybody who thinks that Donald Trump is a legitimate solution to Obama.
Wait. Is there actually people who think that, Michael?
Yes. Yes. There's people who are so fed up with Obama, they're like, hey, well, Trump seems fun, and he's not a Democrat, and he knows business. Two things people should know about Trump. One is that he used eminent domain in New Jersey to take a bunch of people's property and kicked them out of their houses so he could put in a limousine parking lot. That's the first thing.
How can you tell a good law from a bad law? Since laws dictate action and are backed by action, it's the same as telling a good act from a bad act. Any action is bad if it forces anyone to do anything. Any action is good if everyone involved is involved voluntarily.
The second thing you should know is he wants to take your guns away. He's on record, and I'll link this, he's on record as supporting the assault weapons ban.
He would support that. That's insane.
But, you know, there's unintended consequences to everything. I mean, there's a lot of people who say that if it's renewed or if there's nationwide registration required of all guns, it's going to start civil war too.
Yeah. I don't know if it would. I don't know if it could happen. You think they'd ever actually take that step?
I don't know. There's people that talk about it. I'm pretty convinced that Bill Clinton helped create the militia movement by his stance on guns. You know, he put in the assault weapons ban. And there's a video on YouTube of him like signing that thing. And he gives this touching speech about it, how I love guns and they're part of America's tradition. And I used to go out and shoot my dad's .22 and shoot rabbits when I was a boy. But something must be done.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Something must be done. We must use our guns to keep people from buying guns.
Yeah.
So that we have the guns.
Yeah.
I really hate that sentiment too. The people who say, "Oh, an AK-47, AR-15, only the government and cops should have those kinds of things."
You ever been to Lost Springs, Wyoming?
Lost Springs, Wyoming. No, but I believe my coworker Drew Douglas almost did a sweeps piece on it. Or no, it was just a story. It was just one story.
It's the least populated town in the least populated state.
Right, and it's what, like one or two people, two or three people.
Well, I think now it's four. As of the latest census, but it's a really romantic idea to me. I mean, it's about an hour from here. I should go there sometime and just go into the store. And I saw this article on
go
it.
Get us, have there's like, a store. Go get us an interview from them. That's what you should do, Michael.
I thought about it and maybe I will.
You should do it.
And say, is it really as free and wonderful as I thought it would be? I'll go in and buy the 1970s flash bulbs they have in the store. I saw it in a magazine. They had like pictures of stuff in the store that's like been there since the 70s, and they're for cameras they don't make anymore. Flash cubes.
The beauty of this is they don't have a government then. It's just them, right? It's a consensus vote.
One guy's the mayor and one guy's the town council. I think they're brothers.
Brothers? That's great. Wow. So can they do whatever they want in their town? How does that work? Or does the big bad county and state and all the other layers of police police them?
I'm sure there's some county and state there. And Fed and the UN. You know, the UN, we were talking about Agenda 21 last week, and we were talking about Sealand. And I looked this thing up. First of all, Sealand is grandfathered in, and they're still a sovereign nation.
Nice. In the UN, Sealand is one of the members, or?
I don't think they're members, but they're not officially recognized by any recognized state, okay. But they're left alone. You know, I kind of think it's like everyone thinks, okay, if you want to go freeze on that platform, go ahead. I really think they let them exist because they're amused by it.
Yeah,
but
yeah. The
UN has passed a law against any new sovereign nations forming.
Really? And how do you... That makes no sense.
And they have a new law that any new nation that forms has to be at least 30 centimeters above sea level. And is that to protect them or to control them? Is that to keep people from going under the sea and having a under the sea sovereign nation?
Wouldn't that be wonderful, huh? Well, that's the thing, yeah. Is who needs to be recognized by the UN anyway?
Recognize them.
Yeah, exactly. Just as you do with the American federal government, just withdraw your consent. If you don't want to believe in it, you don't have to believe in it. It's like we say in the movie, the only power they have is the power you allow them.
And, you know, every time I hear that in the promo in the end of this podcast now, I think the only power Michael and Nima have is the power you allow them. Because we say it right after, DJ says it right after she says our name.
Well, that's so true. And that's how true. It should be. The only yep. power anybody has should be the power you allow them. Yes. That's how a free society works. Nothing's yes. forced. And I guess I don't want to be utopian. I don't think that we'll ever get to a point where you can trust everybody. But I think we've gotten to a point where we know who we can't trust, and that's the state, the apparatus of the state, the monopoly of force, the idea that men should tax each other and police each other and do all sorts of horrible things like war to each other. I think we've gotten past that, and it's time to forget about it.
If people want to huff jankum, I say let them.
Huff the damn jankum. I mean, I will get a kick out of it. If I saw somebody huffing shit and piss in a jar, I would laugh my ass off.
Sealand should charge people for jankum vacations. You can go out to this freezing metal platform in the ocean and huff feces fumes.
I did have an idea of there's these cruise lines. What if you had a pot cruise? You could take people out into international waters and it would be just like Amsterdam. A poor man's Amsterdam trip. And you go out and you just start smoking bowls. People would love it, man.
They probably do it because I know that they have gambling cruises.
We should find that out. Is there a pot cruise already? Do you think the Coast Guard would knock you? I mean, I don't know what would happen.
Yeah, they'd probably charge you under international law with maintaining a vehicle or dwelling for the use and sale of marijuana. Yeah.
The reason I ask is I'm pretty sure cruises don't allow you to spark up on a boat. I'm pretty sure they're not going to allow you to bring your pot on the cruise boat. You know, the ones that go to the Bahamas, the big carnival type cruises. So I just wonder, you know, there is gambling boats. Maybe somebody should do an Amsterdam boat and you just go 100 miles off, you know, wherever it is to get in international waters and have at it, man.
Neat.
I don't know. What do you think? You want to go into business on that, Michael?
No, I don't like cruises. I don't like the idea of cruises.
You don't like the idea of being in the water?
I don't like the idea of being trapped with a bunch of strangers that are all there spending their life savings to try to have a really, really good time. It just seems like too much pressure.
Right, right, right. But that concept of going out, because technically, are international waters some sort of autonomous zone? I mean, if you had a sailboat and you were going to sail around the world, you could theoretically and effectively be completely free while you're on your own sailboat,
well,
right?
Well, it's debatable. And if you have something that's not legal to possess, once you pass back into any country, you're under their laws.
Right.
There's international laws of the sea, too, which is one of the problems with pirates is that ships aren't allowed to have certain kinds of arms that would repel pirates on certain ships.
But even when they're in international waters, and how is that enforced? Or it's they effectively can't have it because they're going to have to dock somewhere. And so if you leave with the illegal weapons and you come back with the illegal weapons, that's impossible. So you're never going to be in the middle
right.
of the ocean
right.
with the illegal weapons.
You'd have to make them out of seawater and stay on the ocean. So in the last episode, Two Killdozers in Every Garage.
Okay.
There was something you said in passing about, you said something like, well, we want to get the guns away from the government, so we have them. And you said, I want a MiG missile or something like that. And it was really quick in passing. And I wanted to kind of expand on that and ask you, what kind of weapons do you think people should be able to have? And this is entirely theoretical. you know, I don't have any use for a machine gun. I don't have any use for a rocket launcher. But what do you think?
I mean, I obviously believe in a completely free market and everything. So, I mean, I think theoretically people should be able to have anything that exists. And also, if you had a force that could make it illegal for somebody to have a weapon, then you wouldn't have a free society anymore. All of a sudden, you have somebody powerful enough to say, well, if you own that, we will come take it away from you forcibly or throw you in jail or kill you, whatever it takes to keep you from having that. So, unfortunately, we have things. I mean, the gorilla in the room here is we have things like nuclear weapons that exist, and it's unfortunate. So,
yeah, we have things that can kill everybody. And, you know, it's like,
it's important to remember, though, and I think when you talk about this and talk about how anarchy wouldn't work, I think it's really important to remember that government invented all these horrible things. That's where
I can, a lot of people that say there should be reasonable gun control say, well, yeah, you should be able to have a hunting weapon, but why should you be able to have an AK-47?
And why should the government be allowed to have it is the question then.
Yeah.
If you don't think, why do you think you should discriminate against people by class like that? Because you're not wearing a uniform, you can't have all the protections that the people in the uniform have.
The government has everything that's illegal. They're allowed to have it. I mean, think about everything they confiscate.
Right.
You know, drugs, machine guns, shipments of drugs, shipments of weapons, kiddie porn. That's all sitting in the government's hands somewhere. Right. And they're allowed to look at it and play with it too.
Right, right.
You know?
And the funniest thing is things like their teams that go out and keep people from smuggling weapons or smuggling nuclear material or securing nuclear material, as they say. It's important to remember that who created the most nuclear material in the world? The United States. Who has more nuclear weapons than anybody? The United States.
They want a monopoly on everything.
They want a monopoly on everything.
And, you know, a lot of people say, I can even see why you'd have an AK-47, but why would anyone need an RPG? I can think of a damn good reason. If your neighbor goes nuts and he's in a killdozer headed towards your house, you know?
Exactly.
And that guy in the killdozer, actually, at one point, he was headed towards a propane place.
Oh, wow.
And then he stopped and turned around. But if he'd gone at that, it would have killed half the town.
Wow.
And he was going at the library, and it got evacuated seconds before with reverse 911 call.
That's the thing. Just imagine that you know, when there are all these disasters that people want to take away guns to prevent these shooting disasters. The problem is, when I think about going to a place and I imagine there's a shooting disaster there, the first thing I think of is, I got to have my gun. You know, if I'm going to be in a shooting disaster, I want my gun.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, think about Columbine, which is horrible. I can't think of many more horrible things that have happened a lot of government things. But, you know, as far as citizens, that ranks up there with really, really horrible stuff. And if any of those teachers had a gun, that thing would have ended so much quicker.
Or if any of the students, if we just live in a society. The point is, guns exist. You're going to have bad guys with guns out there. So if we lived in a society where people took it upon themselves to defend themselves, in a society of self-reliance, then even if the students had guns, you know, if they grew up, if that was part of their schooling, you know, like part of learning to tie your shoe or eat healthy, is learn how to protect yourself physically from attackers. Because you're always going to have attackers, no matter what. That's where we're not as utopian as the people who believe in government. Because the people who believe in government think that by writing a law down, you're going to change the world.
And
three
that's
nanny
kind of
laws
one of
away
the,
from perfection, as we say in the movie.
That's a common criticism of libertarianism, is they're like, oh, you people are pie in the sky, utopians, dreamers. And I really think it's the other way around. I really think that nanny staters are dreamers, because they think that if they keep writing stuff on paper and backing it with guns, perfection will happen. Yeah. That's like childish thinking.
It's totally childish. I'm going to hit you until you do what I want.
It's mean, childish thinking.
Yeah, it's the bully.
It's bully.
It is exactly bullying. And that's why the state attacks things like bullying and gangs and organized crime and stuff like that, because they want the monopoly on that. That's their gig. Don't be a bully. That's our job.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't steal. The government hates competition is on Ron Paul's desk there.
I really like the term voluntarist, because it's not even anarchist. It's not anti-government. It's more like, it's a positive thing rather than a negative thing. It's, I want to be involved in situations that are voluntary.
Right, right. Because I guess, is anarchy, is the A prefix in there at all, you know, part of an idea that it's anti-something? It's the lack of something. Anarchy is the lack of government, right?
Archy is rule.
Okay.
Monarchy. Monarchy
anarchy.
is one person being the ruler.
Okay. Anarchy is no person being the ruler.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think they both work. It just depends on what mood I'm in, I guess.
I had a good example of free market working to my advantage the other day. Okay. I was really having a, and I've done this twice now in my life. I was really having a problem with this company. It's somebody that I do business with and have done business with for years. And all of a sudden somebody else started working there and they didn't understand the arrangement I had and they weren't going to pay me what they owed me. It was not a lot of money. It was like $68, but they were just like, no. And I threatened to call the Better Business Bureau on them. And they, you know, after like 27 emails over 3 months' time, I mentioned the Better Business Bureau. Like hours later, the guy was like, okay, I'm cutting you a check. And that's not going to
the state.
Mom or the state. Yeah. Yeah. It's a private organization, kind of like we were talking about in the last episodes about in LibPair, in Libertarian Paradise, in LibPair, there would be guilds instead of unions. It's kind of like that. It's like a guild for all the businesses. And
yeah, exactly. You know,
any company has a few bad ratings with the Better Business Bureau because there are dicks out there everywhere. But
we all make mistakes, right?
Well, and there are people who just always, you know, if you look at the best product in the world, user reviews of it, there'll be like 300 reviews that are great and two that are like, these people are horrible, I want to sue them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's just some people are dicks. But this is the second time in my life that I've used the Better Business Bureau thing. The other one was when I joined a gym. And the guy told me you can quit anytime you want and you won't be charged. And then he put this like 18-page contract in front of me. I signed it without reading it. And then when I went to quit, he's like, oh, well, you owe one more month because you're quitting. And, you know, he pulled out this 18-page contract. And that's kind of a wiggler because it's like, yeah, I should have read the contract, but nobody reads 18-page contracts for gym membership. And he lied to my face. He told me something different.
Right.
So I threatened to call the Better Business Bureau and that was my last resort. And that's the thing about using something like that. You don't use it after the first or second call. You use it after they're just being dicks, you know, and nothing's going to get resolved without.
Well, you can't abuse that kind of a trust-based system. The thing is, you know, if you're a statist, you might go, oh, well, people would just abuse systems like that. It'd be like the internet. Well, no. What would happen is, you know, there would evolve sort of consensus about which companies were more trustworthy. You know, like, oh, if so-and-so will just listen to any complaint and give somebody a bad review.
Right.
But this other company won't. You know, they're pretty scrupulous about it. Then you're going to go with the more scrupulous company. Scrupulous.
Yeah, I mean, I think Better Business Bureau and Consumer Reports are two of the really big examples for me of how things would work in a libertarian paradigm, in LibPair.
In LibPair, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Except there'd be much more of them and they'd cover everything. Even more and more, you don't even need stuff like that. You have stuff that's just completely open source. You have the internet. Yeah, yeah. You have things like Yelp, you know, where Yelp. Yeah, where it's just reviews from whoever went there and you sort of separate the wheat from the chaff for yourself. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful thing, Michael.
We're street libertarians. That's what my friend says.
Street libertarians, like street preachers, yep. Or like maybe from the streets. Yeah,
it's kind of both. It's more like we don't quote a lot of people, and we don't back it up with a lot of facts. We just speak from the heart. Read that review that somebody wrote.
There's facts there. We just it's oral tradition, you know. I guess we should. It's not like we can hyperlink our voices, right? We should come up with a way to hyperlink our voices.
Well, go ahead and read it so people know what we're talking about, and then we'll diffuse it.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a second to pull it up then. I can't find... You sent me so many emails, Michael.
Well, it's my form of texting. You text, and it costs 15 cents each, so I don't do that. I'll read it. It says, not perfect. It's an iTunes review of our podcast by Artemis667. I like this, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it evolves. I ask that the producers be careful when making a statement presented as fact that they present a source to back it up, even if they insert it during the editing process. If it sounds too much BSing, I won't recommend this podcast to any more of my reasonable friends. Also, Michael W. Dean sometimes has a tendency to talk over Nima. He should really try not to do this, as Nima sounds smart and funny, and sometimes I really want to hear the sentence he's trying to complete.
I wish everybody said that to me every day.
Anyway, so as I was saying, sorry. Overall, this podcast is funny, stimulating, well-presented, and informative, and the hosts seem to have a good rapport with each other. Keep up the good work. P.S. Bomb broke my heart.
What does he mean by that? Is that your band that he's talking about? You guys broke his heart? Why, Michael?
Yeah,
why?
He's talking about the band Bomb. I don't know. I mean, either this is some chick I stopped, or else we broke his heart by breaking up, or... I don't know. I mean, really, like, Bomb affected people so heavily, that could have been a comment that someone would, like, say while giving me a hug right after a show. It was weird. We had a weird effect on people.
Okay, okay. I dig it. But a former fan of yours, nonetheless, in some regard.
Yeah. Okay. So, or a fan of my old music and a fan of our new podcast.
Yeah.
And I've gotten several emails and comments on the website recently of people who are like, this is changing my life. Keep it up. I'm learning a lot.
Ah, okay.
That's good.
We'll keep dropping that science for y'all.
Yeah. Well, he says it's not science. He wants it all annotated. And I'm like, fuck that. Google is your friend.
I think we mentioned a few things, and we mentioned that we'll hyperlink them, and Michael will make sure that happens and becomes reality. I think we still need to work on hyperlinking our voices somehow. Like, you hear it, and then all of a sudden, if you like it, you should be able to tap something, and it goes back and it recognizes the words that I said.
Yeah, they do that with some TV broadcasts, and it's, I don't know, things can get too interactive, you think? Know? Yeah, it's like, do you want to be clicking on hyperlinks while you're driving and listening to a podcast?
I don't know, maybe. I think the next generation of kids does. I think they're better at switching and keeping, because they're always, if you see teenage girls these days, they're always like texting and watching TV and hanging out with their friends and roller skating.
I know. DJ and I were out to dinner at Olive Garden the other day, and there's this family at the next table, and 3 out of the 5 people were texting throughout the whole meal, and I think 2 of them were texting each other. I think the 2 teenage girls were texting each other.
Yeah.
Gee, mom's being a prick. Yeah, this food's horrible. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Okay, okay. We'll drop the idea of hyperlinking our voices. I just think it'd be cool.
Well, it would be cool, and it would be technically possible in some way. But it's kind of like, I kind of like the simplicity of podcasting.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
It's an audio file. It's a little radio show, self-contained. You can listen to it anywhere on anything. You don't need a lot of money to start doing it. It doesn't cost anything to listen to it, and it's not complicated. And you can, like, drive a car, ride a bicycle, or, you know, look at porn while you're doing it.
Well, okay.
It only takes the audio part of your
brain.
That
brings up a good question. How do you listen to podcasts? Does everybody listen to podcasts differently? I've never listened to a podcast on an iPod or – well, I guess I have listened to it on my phone a couple times, but usually I listen to them on the computer. I just leave the computer open while I'm cleaning the house or writing something or whatever I'm doing. I'll just leave it on and listen to a podcast.
I only listen to our podcast, and I listen to each episode about 5 times because I love the sound of my voice, and I really, really like the sound of your voice.
Okay, fair enough.
Somebody complimented on our voice. Somebody said, like, you know, I used to listen to Alex Jones all the time, and now I'm listening to you.
Really?
I was like,
because of our voices? Alex Jones has a good voice, though. Although, whenever I look at Alex Jones, all I can think of is Cartman playing Glenn Beck in that one South Park episode.
There you go. You said he has a good voice or doesn't?
I think he does. I like Alex Jones' voice.
I think he has a horrible voice. Really? I think he sounds like someone scratching a blackboard with a cat.
No, it's too deep for that. And I don't know, maybe he sort of overemphasizes the depth on purpose, but I don't...
Depth? I don't think he even has a deep... I think he has a whiny voice. No. I mean, it is deep in register.
Really,
but
Alex Jones? Yeah, well, it's like scratchy on top. It's like scratchy...
It sounds like... No, you know who he really reminds me of is the Simpsons character, Dr. Marvin Monroe, the psychiatrist that has the radio show.
He's not that bad. No, we have to find the audio clips and play them side by side. I'm not saying I love Alex Jones. I'm not even trying to be on his nuts, but...
Well, I like a lot of what he says. I have problems hearing a lot of conspiracy theory stuff, whether any of it's true or not. Like I said, there's just too much absolutely true stuff out there that people admit that they're doing that drives me nuts and keeps me up at night for me to even, I literally like close my eyes to conspiracy theory stuff. Cause it's like, oh, the government is letting gun stores sell weapons and getting them smuggled across the border in Mexico, and cartels are using them to kill Americans, and then they're blaming it on the gun stores. It's the government doing it. It's like, that's fact.
Yeah.
That's not a conspiracy.
Right.
And I can't even wrap my head around that hardly.
Right, right. The other thing I think of, the criticism I have about maybe Alex Jones is, and I don't want to go throwing shots at people, but that kind of stuff in general, the conspiracy element, not particularly him, but in general, I believe it comes at you from fear. You know, I think it's fear motivated and fear inducing. And, you know, necessarily I want to laugh at and ridicule the state. I don't want to fear it. I want to throw my own verbal shots at the state and laugh at it and point out its inconsistencies and its ridiculousness. And I think that's how we take it down in the end, is we win that battle of ideas and we win that battle of words, which they're both very good at because they have a monopoly on teaching kids. But we got to do the best we can
to teach the kids until it's illegal.
Until school is illegal? Oh, until it's illegal for us to teach the kids.
Till free speech is illegal.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't get to that.
Well, there are laws that haven't been enforced that could cover that. There's something that Alberto Gonzalez, the Eric Holder under Bush, put through some law that would make anything that like stirs up extremist thought, any media that does that, illegal. I mean, I don't think we're stirring up extremist thought. I think that we're commonly discussing very, very sane thought and talking about government extremism.
That's the problem, is it's not for us to decide. When you have the government and they write regulations like that, they get to decide what is extremism. And they are so good at convincing a jury of it, too. Prosecutors these days get a free pass from juries. They say, oh, this is anti-government. Oh, that's bad.
Well, they pick their juries,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and Gonzalez also tried to pass a law. It didn't pass, but he tried to pass a law that would make using a pirated software program punishable by life in prison.
Really? That is insane. Yeah. That is crazy. Are you serious? Wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
So, you know, if you liked Bush, he wanted to throw your kids in prison for life.
They all do. But I think we should start wrapping it up, B.
I think you did kind of wrap it up, man. You talked about how things are good, and we want to talk about the wonders of the world and while laughing at the horrors of the world, and it's all good.
Right, right. I think the main point is don't be afraid of the state. That's how they win. That's how they win.
Word.
Worms.
Worms.
All right, homie, we peacing out?
Yep, we're peacing out. I'll call you in a minute.
I'm going to chuck the deuce.
Peace out. Bye. Hello, I'm Michael Dean.
And I'm Nima Vedati.
This educational documentary will undoubtedly upset some people who get a boner from preying on the rights of others.
Therefore, we'd like to say this on record. If either of us are ever facing any felony charges, the thing was planted or the evidence otherwise manufactured.
And if either of us is ever found dead of a drug overdose, a car crash, or an apparent suicide, there was probably a government agency behind it.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.
Hello, freedom fiends. Boy, Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. IOME and that include endorphins. No, I won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every Friday night, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.